Hello and welcome to Southern Comfort, a SoCon podcast where we talk all things Southern Comfort sports. Pulse 5 and your host here with Will Fleming as always. Will, you want to say what's up?
What's going on?
And this week we've got our first Wofford player, new Wofford player, Carson McCorkle. Carson, you want to say what's up to the people?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. I'm excited. Yeah.
Carson is a former UVA guard, highly recruited out of high school. Baylor, NC State, Florida, Clemson, Iowa, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Wichita State. What was that recruitment like out of high school? How did it feel to be wanted by so many big time teams?
Yeah, it was different. My recruitment process compared to most kids that probably had high level recruiting, and I guess anybody that gets recruited really, was a little different in the fact that it started pretty early. And it ended early as well, which is not like super common in college basketball and in high school basketball. Because I committed to UVA my fall, my junior year, which is pretty early considering what most kids are doing nowadays. So, I was really being recruited from schools kind of summer going into ninth grade, and then fall of my junior year is when I committed. So it was not as intense and not as normal as probably most people would have had, considering I was so young. A lot of the coaches that recruited me knew I had a little more time, but I jumped it at going to UVA pretty quick, pretty much probably a week after they offered me that fall of my junior year. So that was kind of, I think I would say it's pretty unique for high school basketball to end it that early. So, yeah.
Was there Absolutely a reason tough. You jumped at that so quickly? Was there something that made you want to go be at UVA?
It was a great school. Academics are important to me, and so I knew that UVA had a great athletic representation. I'm about 2 hours and 45 minutes from Charlottesville where I live, so it was like close enough from home to get there on a weekend, but also like you had your space, which I thought was nice. And kind of goes without saying their program is pretty historical, and they've done really, really well. I saw a good fit from the jump. Probably jumped on it too fast now that we're looking at it here, but at that point in high school, definitely looked like the perfect fit. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Talk about your first 2 years at Virginia. You know, what did you learn? What was it like being a part of that program?
Yeah, Matt, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about how to handle certain situations, especially this year. It was a struggle for the most part, to be honest with you guys. I wasn't playing much, kind of in and out sometimes of getting a little bit of time and then no time. So it was kind of figuring out how to deal with that. So that was, kind of not an issue, but just something I had to learn how to work through because I had never necessarily had that before. So, but I learned a lot, got a lot better. And when I go to Wofford, that's going to take me miles as well.
You want to talk about, maybe some of the reasons for deciding to transfer and just kind of in general, what do you think about the transfer portal?
I think the transfer portal is a complete mess. Not a fan of it, to be quite honest with you guys. But, it was great for a guy like me, and so I understand why they have it. But the amount of kids transferring in today's game, I think, is just dumb. I could have transferred after my freshman year, decided to stick it out and give another year. I thought that I had a chance, and I had some chances. I'm not saying I didn't this year, but I had a chance to talk with Coach Bennett, and we pretty much mutually agreed that it was just best for me to find another spot. And I think in that way, like, that's a healthy way to get into the transfer portal. But now with NIL stuff and kids not playing as much as they want, so they just leave because they can go somewhere next month and it doesn't matter. I think that's a bit of a mess. And I think it's unhealthy for college basketball because that's not how college sports are really meant to be played. So there's good and bad, and it's hard to like find a medium, I think. So it's not an issue I know how to solve, but I know I don't like it. When I say going to Wofford, I'm going to be able to play, which is just what I really wanted generally. I mean, every school that talked to me, I told them, like, I want to play. Like, I don't recruit me if you don't know if you're going to play me. Like, that's exactly why I'm leaving. So, that was important. But I think Coach McCauley is is a winner. He's a competitor. And I think that he's going to get the best out of me in that aspect. And that's something I didn't have enough at UVA for me personally. So I think that's going to really help. And I think their system is going to fit me much better. So, yeah.
You kind of answered that question a little bit, but what can Wofford fans expect from you? You know, what type of game do you bring to the table? You know, Wofford being so much different than in a playing style against, you know, with UVA running a pretty slow, slow defense, pretty slow offense. Talk about your game and kind of talk about what Wofford can expect from you this year.
Definitely, you know, get out, run and gun for sure. Get out, shoot the three in transition, try to work on creating my shot a little bit more. That's going to be something that really matters for me. And something that Coach McCauley showed me in video that where he saw I could really fit in. And just really, I mean, just play to win. I mean, everything's better when you win. You can score 30 points a game and lose every game, you're going to be miserable. So I'd rather score 5 points a game and win every game. I mean, it just makes everything that much better. So I believe that we can win the SoCon. I believe we can get back to the NCAA tournament. They're that type of program. So I just – all of those things really, you know, gravitated towards me. That's what I want when I'm going to be there.
You mentioned, you know, your new coach at Wofford, Coach Jay McCauley. And did you kind of get the sense of, you know, there's a family at Wofford? I've had some interaction, you know, with that team and some of the fans. Is that something that made you want to go there?
For sure. I think that, you know, there's a close bond and knit within the program of kids who are there and kids who have already graduated and are gone. And you can tell that people care. They care about winning and they care what's best for those kids. And I think that Wofford has a great support system behind them, which was attractive to me because that's something that I think is awesome. And I think they have a great fan base. I've got a good amount of friends and people that go to Wofford, went to Wofford, love Wofford, and so I've known, you know, how their fans are and how passionate they are about basketball. So that was definitely a turn on.
Talk about the passion, especially, you know, when they had the Fletcher McGee years. I mean, he kind of lit it up offensively. You know, you're a 3-point shooter. You were shooting at least the three ball your last 2 or 3 years in high school, over 50 or 60% both years, shooting 90% from the free throw line. You know, I don't think anybody can compare themselves to Fletcher. Like, I don't think it's fair to him or anybody else. But if you could compare yourself to, you know, any 3-point shooter, are you a 3-point shooter mainly? You know, kind of talk about, you compare yourself to a player that people kind of are aware of, just for the Wofford fans.
You know, I don't know. Fletcher's like so unique. Like, I think a lot of the Fletchers and the Nathan Hoovers, a little bit of Storm Murphy, just being able to shoot the basketball really well and create your own shot. I think that that's something that's a strong part of my game. But yeah, like the way Fletcher shoots the basketball and like gets off 2 feet to shoot it, like I can't do that. That's really insane stuff. I've never seen anything like that. You know, so like I would say that a lot more like a Nathan Hoover. I remember watching Max Klesman, who's going to Wisconsin, and I think I'm a little similar to him as well. But I guess I could pick a Nathan Hoover or a Storm or one of those guys, just in similar fact that I can shoot, create my shot, be able to score. And we're kind of, you know, similar sizes, similar position, but yeah.
Absolutely. Going back to kind of the first question we talked about, you know, did you ever think of going to mid-majors? Were you getting recruited heavily by mid-majors in high school?
No, I never really got any, to be honest. Wofford was never one. I'm trying to think, it was so long ago now that I think about it, because I committed 4 years ago. So it's like I gotta really think back to even farther than that, you know, what schools really recruited me. I mean, I guess maybe really early on, like no one ever offered me, but some schools might have shown some interest, but like I couldn't think of them right off the top of my head right now. And honestly, I was too stubborn in high school to even really consider it because I had all the other Power Fives. And that was a huge, now looking back on it, it's a huge mistake. And I'm not the only, a lot of kids will do that. And it's hard to not look for mid-majors when you have all the Power Fives kind of looking after you and offering you. But I never was going to consider it, I don't think, in high school. And that would have ended up probably being a mistake for me, honestly. I committed so early that there's probably schools like that probably would have ended up offering me and just never did because I committed so early. But now that I look back on it, it would have, hopefully, I doubt I would have, but I really hope that I would have put that in my head as consideration, especially with the portal now, you never know. So
is that, you know, advice maybe you would give your younger self or kids that are juniors and seniors in high school now? Just because the Carolinas or the Dukes, the big Power Five schools are coming after you, you know, look at where you're wanted versus maybe where you want to go.
Yeah, you basically put the words in my mouth, like, go where you're wanted, right? To go where you're loved. Don't go where you love. You want to love the place you're going to, but make sure there's a mutual bond there. And that, in a way, happened to me here. Not like, I'm not saying UVA didn't want me there, but I think in my head, I saw things playing out different than what they had planned for me. And it was never necessarily communicated to one another in a way. And it's not a bad thing, but it's just like, I didn't take enough time to really sit down and be honest with myself about, okay, this is what realistically how you could be, right? And so I think that's something that all recruits will make mistakes with, because they think of what could be the best. And that's not a bad way to think, but realistically you have to sometimes sit back and think, you know, what would it really be like if I went here? And that's hard to do when you're 16 years old, right? Obviously. So it's a little different then, and that's what's been great about this process. In college is I'm 20 years old, so it's been way easier for me to, and I've been through college basketball for 2 years now, so I kind of know and have a way better understanding of like, okay, like let's be real here, like would this be a good fit or does it just look good on the visit, you know? So that was that would be really good advice for younger guys for sure.
I think even realistically, you know, you get to 20 and you look back at 18 and you're like, I didn't know nothing back then. You get to 23, you're a senior now. You'll look back and say, man, that sophomore that entered the transfer portal, he didn't know nothing.
Right, exactly.
You'll continue to grow. Kind of looking at next year a little bit, talk about the idea of playing with arguably the top front court in the SoCon and BJ Mack, Messiah Jones, once he's coming back from injury. A lot of open threes for you?
Hopefully so. That's what it kind of looks like. That would be nice, wouldn't it? I've known BJ since high school, probably from Charlotte. So I'm from Greensboro. So I played against him a couple times. BJ's a great player. And so is Masai. I didn't know Masai until I got to Wofford, took my visit. But, I mean, I've seen him play. And I know what type of players they are. But it'll be obviously amazing to be able to play with more great bigs who will be able to space the floor and really give us buckets and give us rebounds, which is what we're going to need, obviously. So that's going to be awesome. And their experience, they've been in the SoCon. They've had a couple years at least under the belt. So it'll be awesome to play one for sure.
Now talk about, you know, the transfer portal. You've mentioned some of the guys already, Max, Storm Murphy, guys that left. What is it like to see a program lose all those guys and then just like, oh, now I want to go there after everyone's left? Is there any thought process behind that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to me, I didn't really think about it too much. I mean, I knew that they had a lot of guys leaving, which means they had a lot of spots to fill. And I guess in a weird way, it kind of gave me like a little bit of hope, like, you know, I can be one of those guys, right, and come in right away. And that was something that was attractive to me. And I knew that I didn't think Wofford would have too much trouble getting other guys to come in that were pretty good. And we've gotten some guys. We have some freshmen coming in, and we've got the transfer from Murray State. Blanking on
Jacoby Wood?
Yeah, Jacoby. And then there's the white kid from I think it's Murray State. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. I talked to him maybe 3 days ago. Now I don't know who he is.
That'll be something you have to bring up the first day of practice.
Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't watch his video, but they're all good players. McCall has talked to me about them and said he's loved them and believes that, that they can be pieces to help us win and help us get back to where we want to go. And I guess a big priority for me coming out of the portal was making sure I was able to play. And, you know, when there's a lot of spots open, that's kind of a not a promiser, you know, you have to earn everything, but it was a good sign. Just like, oh, like I have a chance to come in and be an effective guy here right away. And that was something that I wanted because I already basically wasted 2 years just sitting watching basketball. So for me, that was important. And the guys they still have, obviously BJ and Messiah and those guys, they're going to be just as good, if not better. So, you know, it'll all work out.
Absolutely. You know, what do you most look forward to about playing the Southern Conference? It's this conference with a lot of history, a lot of rivalries. You know, the Furman and Wofford rivalry is incredible. We had Mike Wathwell on here earlier talking about it. Kind of what's your biggest thing you're looking forward to?
I mean, it's a very competitive conference. And I'm pumped at the idea of basically having to win your conference tournament to get in. I think that'll be a lot of fun, make it really competitive. You know, I've been watching Wofford since I was probably in high school, probably freshman year of high school. And I've always loved watching them play. And when Coach Young was there, I loved watching them too. They were amazing, especially those years they got to the tournament. Really just the competitive, I guess, atmosphere will be a lot of fun. I think it's a competitive, it's a high-level league. And it's, you know, one of those leagues that's right there below the Power Five. And to me, that, you know, is important that we can compete against those Power Five teams. I know we can beat them. So that'll be probably the things I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, Wofford's beat Carolina quite a few times and other Power Five teams. And we're right there against Kentucky a few years back.
We were.
Talking about the in-conference teams, this is the question I was most excited to ask you. Are there any you're already looking forward to playing or that just these names, I'm going to list them off, that kind of get you excited? I feel like every year Pat Good, when he saw the Western Carolina logo on the court or the WCU lights, like it put a fire in him that he didn't have any other game. Furman, the Citadel, VMI, ETSU, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Samford, Mercer, Western Carolina, UNC Greensboro. Any teams in there that pop off to you?
Furman will be fun, obviously. And Carter Witt, who's going there, I know Carter pretty well. I've known him since I was in fourth grade. So it'll be fun to play against Carter again. I would definitely say UNCG will be cool because I've been living in Greensboro since high school, and I still live there. So that'll be fun to go back, and I'll have a lot of friends and family that'll be able to go to those games, which will be fun. Other than that, I mean, I know how good Chattanooga is going to be. They were good last year, and they're going to probably be good again this year. And East Tennessee State's going to be as good, it's going to be really good as well. So those will be games for sure that'll be really competitive and a lot of fun.
Let me add this. VMI, I would love to hear you tweet out your opinion after you play at VMI next year because they clanked their rings, man. And it is something next level. And I feel like every guy we have on here, when we ask your worst places to travel, they mention Samford and Western Carolina just for the distance. And Colui is Colui. So, you know, tweet out about those trips afterwards next year and just kind of tell us how you took them.
I will. Yeah.
Kind of going career base right now. You know, you're an electric scorer. What's your favorite game you've played in your career, whether it's high school, whether it is college, and also what's your best stat line you've ever had, whether it's points or whether it's just all around for you?
I have kind of a tie for two. I got to play in Spartanburg, actually, my sophomore year of high school against Zion Williamson on his senior night. It was on ESPN, which was a lot of fun. And that was kind of my breakout game for GDS. I think I didn't have a ton of points. I think I scored like 18 in the game, and I was like the second leading scorer behind Zion. And I remember like I had like 18 or 20 maybe, and had like 12 in the fourth quarter, and kind of like brought us back. We almost beat Spartanburg Day. We lost at the last second basically, but that game was a lot of fun just for the fact that was the first time I really, really played on like live national television. And to play really well, you know, against a guy like Zion, who's obviously a generational talent, that was really, really cool. And then I guess kind of my best stat line, and this kind of goes in the category with the same game. I played AU in Vegas summer going into my junior year, I think it was. Yeah, summer going into junior year. And we played Cade Cunningham's team. And I think I could be lying right now. I'm pretty sure this is the right number, but I had 36 from what I remember. And that was a huge confidence booster game for me because I guarded Cade for most of the game. And to be able to score 36 against a guy that I knew was basically going to be a top five pick in front of a lot of coaches, that was really, really cool. But my best stat line ever was actually a game before that, like 3 hours, and I had like 41, I think I had against me. So I had, that was like my best day of basketball I think I've ever had. But that was kind of – those two things are kind of like my, I guess, most like impressive or cool, whatever you want to call it, memories. Yeah.
Kind of talk a little bit about playing, you know, two number one overall picks in Zion and Cade. Was there any shock when you walked into the gym?
Zion, there was. I had seen Cade before and, like, played against him and, like, some USA stuff. And, like, I wasn't necessarily shocked. I mean, obviously, you watch him play and, like, wow, he's amazing. But the Zion is different because he's really big. Obviously, like, he's not super tall, but, like, he's so strong. He's just so large that it was just absurd to see someone that big on the basketball court, especially around a bunch of like little white kids for Spartanburg High School. Like, it made it even funnier. So that was like the funniest part, is like warming up and be like, this just doesn't look right. And then watching him like do things in the lane and being able to like hop, step, and skip, like looked like he was like a ballerina on his toes. And he's, you know, 230 pounds or whatever it is. And it's like, how do you move like that? At that, you know, at that height and that weight, and it was absurd to even see it. So it was kind of like that. Was like, it's hard to like, especially in that game. Like, remember one play? It was a 2-on-1, and I was the one, and it was Zion and his point guard. And like, obviously, I'm not gonna choose Zion on a 2-on-1, so I'm kind of just in the middle, like trying to play like cat and mouse. And he threw the ball up to lob it to Zion, and I tried to kind of like jump up in the air and swat it out of the air to see if I could block the alley oop. I missed, and I kind of turn around. Zion's like head at the rim with the ball like this, and it looks on TV like it kind of got dunked on. And I just remember looking like, why rewatched the game probably a week or two later, just when I got home. But like watching that and like being able like in the air turn around and seeing a guy like that much bigger than you, like that much higher than you in the air, it's like, holy cow. So that's probably like the shock of seeing him play. Yeah.
Before the interview, you expressed interest in radio and podcast. What's your major and what's so interesting you about sports media?
I did media studies so at UVA, which is basically journalism. They don't have a journalism school here. So it's kind of like, or I guess a replacement or kind of a similar thing. But I don't know what it is, but I've always been really interested in the like the radio, like having my radio show or being like a, you know, a TV analyst, like the TNT guys. I would rather do like actually announcing the game, like a Mike Breen type thing. That would be like my dream. That would be awesome to do that, like NBA. I don't know what it was, but I just being able to like talk about sports live in the moment was something that like I just like caught a lot of attention to. And I thought that I kind of was just naturally like pretty good at it and didn't like have too much stutter with it. So I took a liking to it, and I've done like a podcast before with some of my friends, like just for fun during quarantine. And I've taken some sports journalism classes here and been able to like write game stories and stuff like that, and like go to games at UVA. So a lot of that just really like kind of fed into it.
Your bio at UVA said you also played golf in high school. Yeah. Was there any thought about maybe trying to, you know, hit the links in college, or, you know, do you have a career best round you want to talk about?
Yeah, not at UVA. I'm not good enough to play UVA, sadly. It sucks, but I'm really not a bad golfer. I don't play enough anymore. I can't play anymore because I'm just – basketball just gets so busy in college, so it's just kind of hard to, like, find real time to play. In the summer, I used to play in the summers a lot. Like, I'd play basketball in the mornings or whatever, and then I'd, like, just play golf all day with my friends. My best round ever in the course I was a member at in Greensboro – shot 64, which is the best round I've ever had. It's a par 71, so I had 7 birdies, no bogeys, which was like, it's like, I'll never play that good ever again. It was insane. That was like a flawless round. But I used to play a lot. I'm a lefty, so I'm a little unique. So I like it a lot, and I have a more natural talent for golf than I do basketball. But I just never like really, really worked at it, golf, because I just kind of enjoyed it. Casual thing to like get away from basketball and get away from like the world, and all my friends play it, so we all do it together. But I played in high school for fun just because a lot of my friends did, and we're pretty good, so I always did that. I did that for 2 years, but golf is definitely like my second favorite sport right behind basketball.
Absolutely. You kind of played, seems like you played in the AAU circuit for a minute. I guess going to Vegas, I mean, did you ever go to any big national tournaments? You ever have any big, big time AAU, you know, awards or any time, any national championships or anything like that?
See, I mean, I, you know, our Garner Road teams played for Garner Road at Raleigh. I mean, we had won state championships, kind of like AAU state championships, stuff like that, which was nice. We played on the Adidas circuit. We never actually won the whole circuit, which is unfortunate. We lost the championship twice, I think. I know we lost once, but I think we lost twice. You know, after middle school, like, we kind of just – you don't, like, necessarily compete, like, for championships as much in high school other than, like, your circuit championships. Because then other than that, you would just play in, like, showcases. So, just playing, like, a couple games over the weekend that wouldn't be, like, necessarily a trophy to win. So, that was kind of – the gist of what I did in high school. I couldn't think, you know, honestly, I don't even know what I was at in high school. I just like playing basketball with them, but and I just did it because I need to get recruited, blah, 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 all that. So I don't know if I can even think of like awards necessarily, other team awards. I can think of like tournaments we won, stuff like that, but individually, like, I've won MVP of like a big shots tournament and stuff like that, but other than that, like, can't think of anything like significant. Yeah,
for sure. Kind of take us through, this is kind of like a fun question, take us through your typical pregame, you know, ritual. Do you have any rituals, you know, any songs you have to listen to before the game? I know, and anytime I ever see Woff, they're always wearing their little like cut off like shirts, yeah, super tight Adidas shirts. You're gonna, I mean, you'll fit in great over there, Carson. So kind of tell me, you know, what's a typical pregame like for you
in high school? Our coach in high school always made us eat as a team before games, which we wanted to eat as a team. I'm not saying we didn't, but he just like made us go somewhere. But so we usually go to Chick-fil-A or we go to Sub Spot, which is like a local Greensboro like sub shop, and we eat, and then we all go to the game together and just kind of like sit in the bleachers while the girls' game was starting. Then we go to halftime. And I had a thing in high school. I did it at UVA too. It was really weird. I don't know why I did it, but I'm pretty superstitious. So like, to me, like, I like my socks worn one inside out and one right on, and I flip them over. I always do that. I don't know why I do it, but I just do it. I'll do it even like just going to class, but I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I used to always do that. And then I used to, before each game I play in the hallway, if we'd run out, it would be, I'd have like 10 taps on my left leg, 10 on my right, 10 on both feet together, and then 20 up and down. I did it every game. And it was like a way to just kind of like keep my body moving. Cause like I used to, especially in high school, I used to really struggle with kind of like performance anxiety of like worrying about playing well. And so that was something for me right before the game started that could like keep me moving and keep my energy flowing, so I didn't have to sit and think. And so that was something that just kind of worked and like clicked with me a little bit. So I used to do that every single game. And I always say a prayer before the game too. So I guess that's kind of part of it. But yeah, that's like really weird, but it's what I do. So
now if we asked, you know, in 2 years, or I guess three, I'm not sure how the eligibility stuff works anymore. You know, you're done with your career at Wofford. What does a successful 3-year career at Wofford look like for you?
When the SoCon gets an NCAA tournament and try to take them as far or further than they've ever been in the NCAA tournament. And I think we can get back to it. And all you have to do is get there. And once you get there, you never know what's going to happen. And that tournament's so unpredictable. And if you're hot and you're playing well in the NCAA tournament, you can go as far as you want. And we saw that this year. So for me, that was like, that's what I want to do. And that would make my dreams come true at Wofford. So, yeah.
Now, seeing that this year, did that give you any more respect for mid-majors or the idea that, you know, you don't have to go to a Power 5 to, you know, win the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I do. I truly believe that sooner than later, like a mid-major, a non-Power 5 will win the national championship. I think that'll happen sooner than we think. I think that, like I said, like I think that tournament's so unpredictable. Like you saw St. Peter's, like just St. Peter's not better than Kentucky. Like, they're just not. But, like, it doesn't matter. When you play, you have to win. So you see that And I just, it makes me wonder, like, there's no way that someone from the SoCon, somebody from the American, like, can't go and win the national. It can happen. They, you know, and usually the best team doesn't win the tournament. I think this year, I think the best team probably did win it. I think Kansas probably was the best team in the country. Maybe Villanova if they had Justin Wright. But I think it'll happen sooner or later. So, yeah.
For sure. One last question. You know, it kind of just dawned on me. In high school, were you an Adidas guy or a Nike guy?
I was Adidas. Yeah.
So you're Adidas. You're going back to Adidas now at Wofford. You kind of excited about that? Anything kind of change with that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge like gear guy. I'm not a huge shoe guy. I wore pretty much the same pair of basketball shoes all through high school, for like one for AAU and one for my high school. I wear khakis and a collared shirt to class. Like, I don't wear all the stuff I get necessarily. I like it. It's cool, but it's not like, I'm not super into it. I'm not a huge like sneaker guy. Like, I wear cowboy boots, or I wear Vans. Like, I don't really wear anything like super like tacky, whatever you want to call it. But I do like Adidas better than Nike, in my opinion. So that was nice. So, yeah.
Did you ever play against Creighton Lebo back in high school?
I did. Yeah. I know Creighton. So, well, yeah.
For sure. I followed him recently. I grew up in Cookeville, and his dad used to be a coach at Tennessee Tech. Our parents are like kind of similar age, and they were friends. And I kind of refollowed him. You remind me a lot of him with the cowboy boots and the collar shirt and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Creighton's a good guy. I like Creighton a lot. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, was there ever a moment in the NBA or in college or even just a player that kind of made you fall in love with the game as a kid?
For me, it was Larry Bird, because my dad was a big Larry Bird guy. And I wore the number 33 because my dad was Larry Bird. So for me, I always loved Larry Bird. I don't know if I have a guy now, honestly. I'm a Luka guy. I like Luka a lot. He's such a baby. It's like really annoying. But he's really fun to watch when he's not complaining. That's when he's really fun to watch. But like in today's game necessarily, I can't pick an NBA guy, so to speak. But Larry Bird was that guy for me growing up, that I just didn't really model my game after him. I modeled like the way I shoot and how I kind of have an approach to basketball. But other than that, I don't model much more, other than I just kind of liked his nonchalant personality and the way he kind of went about his business. I respected that. And I think that that's kind of like non-existent in basketball anymore. I think it's a pretty cool way to go about things. So he was somebody that I really liked a lot. Yeah.
Do you think you kind of play a similar game to him? You know, you said the nonchalant. Do you know, like, are you much like a trash talker? You kind of just play the game and you don't get too heated?
Yeah. I mean, I talked a lot more in high school than I have in college. I knew that when I got to college, I needed to tone down a little bit. So I don't do too much in college. So I knew that would be a thing, but I knew it, like, especially in AAU, like, it was way easier to just to talk and to do things, right? To be more expressive, however you want to put it. But I'm not really a big talker in the first place. So
yeah, with SoCon refs nowadays, you say the wrong thing and they will toss you. We've seen it with Wofford players.
We've seen it with Quez Glover, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Quez had it happen to him. I think Max had it happen to him 2 years ago at Western. I was at that game. He was busting us, man. He had like 11 in the first half. And chirped at our bench twice, and they tossed him. Dude was going insane. It was like kind of like his breakout game almost to start it. And then one too many words.
One too many.
Sent him to the bench. They beat us by 30 that night. But is there anything you want to add? We got about 5 minutes left. Anything you want to shout out?
Trying to think. Nah, but I appreciate y'all having me on. I had a great time.
It's the era of NIL. Do you want a favorite snack, favorite fast food company in Wofford? I don't know.
And I've told Mo Southwest Grill 1,000 times on Twitter I'm their biggest fan, but they keep telling me that they don't do NIL deals. So kind of getting shut down in the business right now. I'm pretty broke. So
they got to change it to Chipotle, man.
Yeah. Dude, I'm a Mo's over Chipotle guy. I'll stand by that. I like Chipotle though. I don't like Chipotle, but I've loved Moe's for so long, and I always go there. And they don't have one in Charlottesville, but they do in Spartanburg. So That's he's a back. Huge plus because I only got nosed the past 2 years about every 4 or 5 months, which is like that's not a good thing for me. So it was nice to be able to see it since spring break. So that's good. But
for sure,
if Mose is watching, I'll be waiting, guys. If you guys end up seeing this video somehow, but
was that number one on your board when you entered the portal? You're like, have to be close to a Mose.
You know, I thought about it. I was like, there's no way the school I go to is going to have, they're going to have a Mose. And we got to Spartan, I got to Spartanburg, and me and my friend actually went to Mose. He's like, you want to go to Mose? Yeah, I mean, he's like, they got Mose here. And I was like, all right, I got to come to Wofford now.
Committed on the spot.
Sure.
That's you signed the papers in the Mose.
It was a sign from God I needed to go there. So, yeah.
For sure. We appreciate your time. Me and Will both be pulling for you this year against any other team besides Western and ETSU, obviously.
Yeah, sure. I get it. Appreciate it, guys. I enjoyed the time.
Yeah, thank you.